Take your Bibles, let us stand together, Luke chapter 22, Memorial Day weekend. In just a few minutes, we'll be having our people who have served in the armed forces stand alone because of what they have done for our great nation. But we realize that not only are we capable of being in the armed forces of a country, but all of us who are born-again, Bible-believing Christians, we are in another army. We are in the Lord's army. And we thank you for your part and for your service in that. But beginning at verse 28, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that ye may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he, that being Peter, said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he, that being Jesus, said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this weekend and what it means. We thank you for those who have served our country. We thank you for those that have served this church. And Lord, we pray that we could be found faithful when you call us home. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. When I was a student at Auburn Shire Elementary School, on the Friday before the holiday, we had an annual Memorial Day declaration. What's another day for Memorial Day? Decoration Day. Some of you may not remember that. But there was crepe paper decorations. Usually we were outside in front of the school. There was the pledge, a song or two, a speech by the principal, and then the giving out of the little loaves of Wonder Bread. Anybody remember that? Some of you, you remember the little loaves of Wonder Bread. I do not remember one celebration, though, of Memorial Day from sixth grade through my senior year. As I entered the sixth grade at Sterling Elementary, it was 1964. Vietnam, hippies, drugs. We know that Woodstock would come and free love, and there'd be the burning of draft card notices. There was the burning of American flags. There was the fleeing to Canada to avoid having to enter the armed services. There was a time of political, civil, social, moral, and religious unrest. And some of you remember the protest song versus the patriotic songs. There were very few American flags that were flown at that time. Today we are blessed to see many American flags, and not just at auto dealerships. But I must admit, I'm not going to break into a rendition of God Bless the USA. But I am proud of our country. But at the same time, I am saddened by her turning her back on what once made her great. The preaching and teaching of the Word of God. May I say this? It's not the unions that made America great. May I say this? It's not the universities that made America great, or the great hospitals that we have, or the amount of libraries that we have. What made the United States of America great was the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Amen. And we have drifted from that. The Supreme Court is meeting with a decision about marriage, and is it one man with one woman? You know, do you remember when there was the man that sued Winnebago? He had bought an RV and he was on vacation and he was driving some 60 miles an hour down the road. He decided to get up to get a cup of coffee. And nobody was driving the Winnebago and it crashed. And then he sued the company because nobody told him he could not get up and go back and get a cup of coffee. Folks, that is the same situation the Supreme Court is in when it's asked to say, is a marriage anything other than a man and a woman? It's like driving your Winnebago down the road without a driver in the driver's seat. May I say this? That suit was wrong. And yet we find that if we do not use the Word of God in making our decisions as a nation, we will make the wrong decision. But on this weekend, we want to honor the men and women that are in our attendance today that served in the armed forces. And I would like you to stand at this time. If you served in the armed forces, would you please stand at this time? All over the auditorium. We're going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to come to you and I'm going to ask you to, if you remember your number, it was usually on your dog tag or something, I'd like you to quote it. And then also to give your rank. Thank you, man. We appreciate all that you did on behalf of the United States of America. If I had my druthers, we'd give each $1,000 to go out and eat at McDonald's today. Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievance. We have a great nation. Amen. And God gave us some mighty smart men and women at the founding of our nation. President Lincoln, our 16th president, over here you read that he was not concerned if the Lord was on our side, but that we were on his side. We need leaders who want to be on the Lord's side. When I was a young boy, I remember going to a church service, and they decided that before the offering, that everyone that was going to put money in the offering tray should do so, but they wanted them to stand. And so they played the Star Spangled Banner. That's because you're to do what at the Star Spangled Banner? You're to stand. Now I'm going to quote a verse from the Star Spangled Banner. Does the same hold that if I am quoting a verse from the Star Spangled Banner, you should stand? No, Chief Smith is shaking his head. No, you don't have to stand. This is one of the verses from the Star Spangled Banner. Most of you don't know it because we only usually sing what? The first verse. This is the last verse. Oh, thus be it ever, when free men shall stand between their loved homes and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just. And this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner and triumph shall wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave. We praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. What is the power that has preserved us and made us a great nation? It is the Lord. In God is our trust. Who and what is the God of the 21st century America? Luke 22:31, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. He is the deceiver. Our Lord said to Simon Peter, Satan desires to have you. May I say this? If you are a Bible-believing Christian, he cannot have your soul, but he can have your body. He may not have your soul because you have entrusted it to someone else, but he can be a temptation to you. He desires to entangle, to entrap, to ensnare the people of the world, and especially those of the body of Christ. And how does he entangle? And how does he entrap? And how does he ensnare? How does he hold us in bondage? Well, we know that alcohol and drugs has a big part, wouldn't you say? We live in a society that believes if you're going to have a good time, you have to have alcohol or drugs, which means that as we gather at our house tonight, we're not going to have a good time. Or are we? We're going to have a better time. We find that we live in a world that is ensnared with the desire for money. Folks, you have never once heard me say that money is wrong. Money is not wrong. It's what priority we give money. I mean, I'll be glad to tell you, I'm glad that I have money. It made it so that I could take my wife over to one of the nurseries in the area and able to let her buy a few things to put around the house. Isn't it nice to have money? You're afraid of a trick question, aren't you? Isn't it nice to have money? Boy, good. I'm glad we're on the same page. It's what we do with it. How about power? See, one of the problems in our society today is to have power when who is the one that should have the power? It's our Lord who should have the power. But how about the gambling industry? I tell you what, we live in a world that has gone crazy over the lottery and casinos and every imaginable way to waste our money. Sports. Now, I like sports. You know, I like it when the Tigers are doing well or when the Red Wings are doing well. And if at all possible, if the Lions could do well 2 years in a row. And as for the Pistons, well, we'll see. But sports should never control our lives to where it is all-consuming. And yet we have people that are literally consumed with sports. Possessions. 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Be careful of your possessions. Don't let your possessions possess you. Have them in the right priority. But how about attention? Would you say that we live in a world that is entangled with the desire of attention? I have never taken a selfie. My arms aren't long enough. Now, I will admit that I have taken my tripod and set it up and put a camera on the tripod and stood in front of a waterfall so that I could prove that I was there. But my best pictures are of just the waterfall. But we live in a world where our children and our grandchildren are consumed with attention, the desire for it. Reader's Digest, May 2015. That means it just was last month. No, we're in May now, aren't we? This month. Miss Bauer, sixth grade teacher in Tulsa, Oklahoma. What grade teacher? Sixth grade teacher. Wrote and placed on Facebook, "I am a sixth grade teacher in Oklahoma. My 12-year-old students think it is no big deal that they are posting pictures of themselves in bras or with their middle fingers in the air. Someone would call that freedom of speech. Is that why Ed Johnson went to Italy in World War II to fight? So that we could have little immature children posting pictures like that. Is that why? And yet that's what our society says. We have become entangled with attention. These three girls over here did this picture, so I've got to do it too. We live in a world that has gone haywire. Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. To sift is to separate. And Satan's desire is to replace the good with political correctness and humanism versus what is in the Word of God. The Word of God is what's important, and our children don't know anything about it. We have stopped serving the great God of America that was served in the beginning days. Let me rephrase verse 31. And the Lord said to the United States of America, the land of the free and the home of the brave, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Do you agree that Satan's desire is to control America? To take our eyes off the Lord? Satan is not going to bring salvation to our nation. He'll bring destruction. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight last gleaming? Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, or the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave? We need the banner of the cross to wave proudly in America again. We need to have people not bothered when one of our sports personalities thanks God for what has happened. When they kneel and pray, we need to have them not be bothered by it, but to say they're paying respect. Luke 22:32 says, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Now is the time when Christians need to show their faith. When they're willing to stand for what is right. We've been quiet far too long. And we've allowed the other groups to take priority. We need to take America back. And when thou art converted, Strengthen thy brethren. Folks, if we fall, who's going to hold the cross of Christ? I want to ask you this. If you aren't doing it, who's going to do it? We need you to stand strong for America. But the Lord told Peter that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Our current president has said that we are no longer a Christian nation. But the fact of the matter is this, that we should want to be a Christian nation. That we should desire to serve him faithfully. I close with this verse. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. My people, those who know Christ as their Savior, if they are willing to humble themselves, to pray, and to seek the face of our Creator God, turning from our wicked way, He will hear. I'm going to ask just one of our musicians, either Deb or Cheryl, to come to your instrument, just one. The song of invitation is Only Trust Him. We're not going to sing it. What I'm going to ask is that you just come and pray for your country. That you come to the altar, you come and sit on the front pew, that you even sit right there, and that you pray for our country. Because folks, we need to pray for our country. Because if we don't start praying and if we don't see things turning around, America will not be that great nation. And wouldn't that be sad? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask as we have this invitation time that, Lord, we would not be embarrassed to pray for our country, that we would not be ashamed to pray for it, but that we would openly and willing be willing to do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.